Chapter 8. Raptor Center receives large grant. Minnesota Raptor Association. The ride to the center was long, but it would have been shorter if people had stopped turning to look in our windows. When we pulled into the gravel parking lot where I had met Duval yesterday, I hopped out of the car before Alex could get around to my side and shouldered my bag again. Well, this is it. Last chance to come up with something interesting to do. If you stay, I might put you to work. I looked at him, not sure if I wanted him to stay or go. Logically, I knew I'd get more work done if he wasn't there, but I was also starting to enjoy his company.
Use me as you see fit.
Alex stepped close, his eyes lit with mischief.
I'm at your disposal.
You may regret that. I tried to keep my voice calm, but failed.
I highly doubt it.
Stepping around me, he opened the gate and we walked toward the main building. People stopped to stare at us, but for the most part, no one really bothered me. For the first time that day, I felt normal, like I could be myself. I threw my bag down in a corner of the office and looked around for any notes. David had been here earlier in the day and checked on the birds. Thankfully, everyone seemed to be handling the weather well. You might want to leave your suit jacket. I grabbed Dr. Geller's large snow coat from the rack and tossed it to Alex. He traded coats and hung his jacket on the rack. This was the part of my day I looked forward to. Here, I didn't have to deal with students or idiotic questions. Most of the others were leaving or going to their offices to finish up paperwork. I could focus on my birds, get lost in research, and agonize over my thesis. It was my passion, and here nothing else got in the way. Nothing else came first. Alex didn't talk much as I showed him the facility, the mews, the enclosures, and the area where we prepped the food. There was also a very small room where Dr. Geller performed examinations of the injured birds brought to us. It was a slow time of the year, considering most birds that could leave the cold did so. That was why Dr. Geller chose this time to take a team of students farther south. They had spent time in the Everglades and the swamps of Louisiana. I think it was also a convenient way for him to get away from the snow for a while.
How many of you work here?
Alex was helping transfer some of the birds while I cleaned cages. He hadn't needed much direction. It was easy to tell he spent a great deal of time with raptors. Depends on the season. I hauled a bucket over to use for trash. In the summer, we have volunteers who help out. There are shows and education programs as well that help raise money for the birds.
Education is the key, isn't it? The more people understand about these creatures, the more they will be able to see their vital importance.
Gently, Alex coaxed the horned owl from her perch and onto his gloved arm.
That's one of the things I'm working on back home. I run a charity that goes to schools and town centers to help educate the public. The kids love it.
What's it called?
The Future Bird Trust.
He didn't look at me as we talked, his eyes solely on the bird, so he didn't see my dumbstruck expression. You run the FBT? I thought they were based in France.
Yes, we work very closely with the French government to uphold the laws protecting these beauties.
He looked at me over the owl's head, his eyes full of determination.
It's my goal to spread the FBT to the surrounding countries, to educate the public about the importance of raptors. I hope that with more knowledge, people will understand why it is so important to preserve these birds.
I've read about the FBT. I leaned the shovel I was carrying against the wall and went to wash my hands. They've done some great things.
Thank you.
He looked back at the owl, examining the large gash on her beak.
What happened to this one?
Carr. I turned back to the table to finish getting the food sorted. Rats and mice were the entree for tonight. Not exactly my favorite part of the job, but I'd become immune to it at this point. Everything has to eat. I brought a small rat over to Dover, the owl Alex was holding. Alex took it in a gloved hand and proffered it to the bird.
Come on, sweetheart. Don't be shy. Alex clucked when Dover turned her head away from the meal. I saw you eyeing it while the lovely Samantha got it ready. She's a coy one. I smiled at him, not sure if I was more amused by the coaxing tone or by him calling me lovely. He mumbled a few words in Lilarian, at least I thought they were Lilarian, and Dover turned to look at him. He chuckled and offered the rat again, which she deigned to accept. I didn't blame her for turning to look at him. While he spoke English easily, with an almost British accent, those words were beautiful. Well, that may be the fastest she's ever accepted a meal from anyone. That's so. He smiled over at me. It's the accent. Women always swoon for an accent. I rolled my eyes. And does the accent work on you? You wish. I fumbled with the gloves I was trying to put on. I looked at him over my shoulder to see if he was watching. Too true. He winked at me. My heart jumped and I turned to finish making the meals. Unfortunately, I knocked over the shovel and was rewarded with a loud clanking that sent all the nearby birds into a flutter. I bent over to pick up the shovel and glanced at Alex. He was openly watching my backside. When he realized he had been caught ogling, he smiled and raised an eyebrow. Nice jeans. Thanks. I turned back to the task at hand. No. Thank you. He chuckled and I blushed. Did you know what your aunt was going to tell me last night? I asked, wanting to change the subject. I kept my back to him, not wanting him to see my red cheeks. No. She asked me to accompany her to dinner, and since I had no other plans, I agreed. She mentioned something about the university, but since we had been here earlier that day, I had no reason to think it was for anything else. Yeah, I saw you guys. You were busy flirting with a blonde girl outside the library, and I couldn't get through the front doors. I had to go all the way around to the back, and they still wouldn't let me in with the fancy schmancy prince visiting. He laughed at my barb, and I remembered the way he had been laughing with the girl. Something in my chest tightened. I tried to stomp the emotion down, because I had no reason to care. Chucky. He said her name with a fond tone, and I felt my back stiffen. There was no reason I should care if he liked her. Just because he had been flirting with me didn't mean anything. And really, I had no use for a prince. She was assigned to show us the campus. Part of a sorority, I believe. I continued chopping up mice bits and ground my teeth. Of course she was. Cute, blonde, designer clothes. Probably a business major, so she'd have a degree when she went to work for the family company. Plus, she'd looked adorable standing next to Alex for the cameras that had come to record the event. They had looked cute standing next to each other, and comfortable with each other. I grunted. Yes, she was the perfect little host, I'm sure. Yes, Jackie was an excellent escort. Escort. Escort? Alex's next words cut through my thoughts with amusement. How small are you planning on cutting those? Shit. I frowned and looked at the mess I had made. I pushed it aside and started on another mouse. I'd freeze this for one of the birds we had to syringe feed. You know, if I didn't know better, I'd think you were jealous. I spun around to glare at him. I opened my mouth and closed it. If I denied it, I'd look like an ass. But I couldn't just tell him the truth. Shit, shit, shit. I was jealous. Snap out of it, Sam. Your ego is something of a wonder, isn't it? I glared at him as he put Dover on her perch to finish eating. I think I like this look on you. His eyes were a different shade of blue as he regarded me. Jackie was nice, very friendly. And dumb as a rock. She is nothing compared to you. He pulled the gloves off as he walked toward me. I flattened myself against the counter with each step he took. Placing a hand on either side of me, he leaned forward. Put down the knife, Samantha. Why?
I hadn't realized I was still holding it. My voice had been too high, excited. This close to him, my brain was turning into mush. His blue eyes peered down into mine, and I felt small and feminine. Because I'm going to kiss you, and I don't want to be stabbed when I do it. His hand moved to mine and carefully plied my fingers away from the blade's handle. When he had disarmed me, he dipped his head down toward mine, and I felt my heartbeat speed up. While his breath tickled my lips, he carefully pulled my work gloves off. One of his hands moved to cup my cheek, tilting my face upward. Our eyes stayed locked until his warm lips touched mine. It started out slow and tender, our breaths mingling while we touched with feather-light brushes. I was putty in his hands, my body no longer under my command. I ran my hands over his chest, tracing the muscles I had caught hints of through his shirt. Eventually, I tangled my fingers in his hair. He mumbled things I didn't understand, and didn't need to, the tone making it obvious. He tasted like a dark, decadent dessert. I had a feeling I could live on that taste alone for months, that his kiss was something I could become addicted to. The sound of wings flapping and loud squawking had us pulling apart. My breathing was heavy and I felt lightheaded. Alex ran a thumb over my bottom lip, his eyes bright with a mixture of surprise and desire. I think someone is jealous. I bit my lip and looked over his shoulder to where Dover was glaring at us. Not much I can do about that. He leaned forward and nipped my bottom lip. I melted back into him, already craving his taste again. His hands moved at my sides, his thumbs barely grazing the sides of my breasts. I sucked in a breath at his touch and moaned softly. One of the outer doors opened, and we froze at the sound of voices. Alex smiled at the look on my face, but pulled away. I adjusted my shirt, hoping I didn't have that just-kissed look. Alex picked up my gloves and handed them to me. I pulled them back on and turned around to what I was doing.
Hey, Sam?
David's voice heralded his entry into the room. Alex moved over to the sink to wash his hands, and I heard David's footsteps pause. What's up? I turned to look at him, the knife in my hand. His eyes moved from Alex to me, noting how close we were standing.
I wanted to see how Dover was healing. Dr. Geller asked me to keep an eye on her while he was gone.
Something in his tone changed, and I realized he appeared pissed. She's doing good. I felt my eyebrows draw together. David was usually a bit distant, but friendly. Did he think I had ignored the owl because of everything going on? Everyone brought friends or family to the center, so he couldn't be upset at Alex's presence.
Have you given her the medicine yet?
David glared at Alex, who had turned around to lean against the sink. There wasn't much space between us, and I could see the calculating gleam in David's eyes.
Yep.
My response was curt, annoyed by the judging look in his eyes.
Good.
He grabbed a glove from one of the shelves and walked over to check out Dover. I turned back to my task and frowned.
She's a beautiful bird.
Alex had stayed leaning against the counter, so close that my elbow hit him when I went back to work.
Yes, she is.
David's voice sounded odd, so I tried to peek over my shoulder. Dover was sitting on his arm, but his eyes were trained on Alex.
She's been through a lot. I'd hate to see her hurt anymore.
I turned back to the mouse I was holding and frowned. Why did he sound so angry?
I'm sure everyone here takes very good care of her.
Alex's voice sounded affable, but there was something odd about the way he phrased his words.
Often people hurt things by accident.
David's voice took on an edge.
No one plans on hurting anyone, but it happens.
Anyone? I froze and set down the knife I was holding. Slowly I turned around and glared at David. He was ignoring me, his gaze still glued on Alex.
I have no intention of hurting Samantha. Alex's posture was relaxed, at odds with his words.
She's been through enough. I've watched her fight her way through the death of her mom, and now her dad. Don't pull her into something just for her to have to fight some more.
David! I felt my mouth fall open in shock. How had the conversation turned into this?
She's like my sister, and I'm tired of seeing her screwed over.
His eyes turned to me apologetically.
I can understand that.
Alex stood up straight.
But I think she can take care of herself. Just remember there are people, here, in the real world, that love her.
My heart squeezed with David's words. I had grown really close to everyone in the office. David had been a big help when I was applying for a master's position. He wasn't one for too much emotion, so to hear him say that made me want to throw my arms around him in a hug. Alex nodded his head, and David turned back to Dover. I stood there staring at them both, wondering what on earth had happened to my life.
Close your mouth, Sam. David didn't look at me, but his voice shook me out of my thoughts.
I turned back to the task at hand. Alex's phone rang, and he walked away to answer it. I could hear him, but couldn't make out what he was saying. When I had finished cutting up the food, I split it up and went to deliver it to the birds in the building. When I got back, David was finishing up his examination of Dover. He put her back in her pen and replaced his gloves on the shelf.
See you later.
David looked at me from where he was standing, and I nodded my head. Yeah, Geller will be back tomorrow.
I know.
He turned to leave.
See you then.
David? He stopped and looked at me. I love you guys, too. He winked before turning and leaving the way he came. Alex was still on the phone, so I checked the time before going about cleaning. I was almost finished by the time he was done with his conversation.
I didn't mean to leave you with all the cleanup.
Alex took the broom out of my hand. There's not much to do. I shrugged and rinsed out one of the rags while he swept the trash I had collected into the dustpan.
Still, I said I would help.
He frowned. It's really okay. I headed for the office where our coats were hanging, with him following close behind. As I reached for my coat, I was spun around and pressed against the wall. Alex leaned down to nuzzle my neck before dragging his lips across mine. There it was, my new drug of choice. His kiss was hot and hungry. His hands weren't patient this time as he slid them over my body. It was as if our first kiss had answered a question, and now he was sure of what he wanted. His phone beeped, and he muttered something that had to be a curse. The kiss slowed. There was something serious and dangerous behind his kiss, something that made my heart stutter and my panties catch fire. When his phone beeped again, I pulled back so there was just enough space between our mouths that I could feel our breaths mingle. You should probably get that. My voice was husky and thick. It had taken a lot of willpower to pull away from him. They can wait. He started to lean forward again, but I shook my head. I can't. I need to go see my dad. He sighed but nodded his head.
I understand.
Are you leaving soon? I bit my lip, surprised I had asked him. Did it matter? I guess it did, considering how my heart was beating rapidly.
I'm waiting to see what you decide.
He brushed some of the hair out of my face. Is that why you're kissing me? To try to convince me to come to LaLaria? The words seemed to freeze the air between us, and I felt my stomach clench.
You think I would kiss you? To try to get you to come back?
He leaned farther away.
I'm not sure what you think having you in LaLaria would accomplish for me, but I assure you, I don't go around kissing people to make political alliances.
I'm sorry. I closed my eyes and thunked my head against the wall. I just can't imagine why you... He pulled away from me with a look of frustration.
Do you realize how insulting that is?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean...
You didn't mean to insinuate I would stoop to such a thing. Or You didn't mean to insinuate you're not attractive enough to make me forget my senses.
He stood up and ran a hand through his hair. I do want you to come to Lillaria. I think it would be good for you, and for your father. I think if you would let yourself, there could be something good between us as well.
This is happening too fast. There's too much going on.
Alex pulled his coat off the rack. Don't think your whole life is here. Your ancestors were courageous. Don't let them down by hiding.
I watched as he walked out of the little office, my mind a complete mess. Chapter 9. Lillarian Healthcare makes headway with homeopathic medicines. Durin Pathology Center. It had taken a lot of arguing to get my security detail to stay in the car. Becca had insisted on standing at the door, but I finally convinced her she would get frostbite if she did. I used my key to let myself in and sighed in relief. It was nice to be back in my childhood home.
I'm in here!
Dad's voice drifted over the sound of the television in the living room. The smell of lasagna meant he was in the kitchen.
Hey!
I hung my coat on the back of the chair and smiled at Patricia. She gave me a hug and then held me out at arm's length.
Girl, what on earth have you been up to?
Apparently, she had been watching the news. It's a really long story. I shook my head.
A really crazy one, I'd guess.
She narrowed her eyes at me and lifted my chin. She tisked under her breath and gave me a knowing smile and wink.
You're all flushed.
It's -10 outside. Of course I'm flushed. I tried to not grimace when she laughed.
That's not the same kind of flushed.
She lowered her voice.
I bet it has something to do with that gorgeous man I saw you on the cameras with.
What?
There's video of you walking around on campus, laughing with that prince. He's a good-looking guy. I let him get me all flushed, too.
I'll let him know you're interested. I laughed as I walked past her and into the kitchen. I threw my arms around Dad's neck and pressed my face against his shoulder.
Don't make me spill this.
He was trying to transfer the lasagna from the dish onto plates. I had learned with my mom you never took time for granted, so hugged my dad as often as possible.
I'm gone, you old fart!
Patricia hollered from the living room.
Get out of here, woman!
Dad yelled back. I could hear her laughing even after the door closed behind her. I knew for a fact that even though they enjoyed pestering each other, they were the best of friends.
So, I thought you had a headache today.
I carried our plates to the table and then went to get glasses out.
I did, but feel a bit better tonight. I figured you might need your favorite dinner after I saw you on TV.
He smiled at me as he brought the milk carton to the table.
Lasagna is always good for dinners where there's stuff to discuss.
Did you know? I sat down and looked at him. Did Mom tell you?
I think you're going to have to start at the beginning.
He passed me a piece of bread.
All I know is I woke up today to seeing you on the news and had voicemail from several news stations.
Oh, Dad, I'm so sorry. I sighed and poked at my food. I should have asked them to send someone over for you.
Who to send who over?
Mom was from a royal family. I don't know if she knew or not, but I sure didn't. But they gave me a detail to keep the press away, and I should have asked them to send someone over here for you, too. I mean, the Duchess that came to tell me about my family assigned a detail.
Huh.
We ate in silence for a few minutes, each of us working through things in our heads.
I don't guess they're going to bother me too much, since I'm just your stepfather.
You're not just my stepfather. You're my dad. I knew he would understand the differentiation.
I know, but that probably makes a difference to the people wanting to ask questions.
Did she know?
Your mom was always a mystery, Sam. That's one of the things I loved about her.
She was brilliant, funny, and the most loving woman. But I knew there were things about her I would never learn. He smiled at me, his love for her still as alive as ever. She never told me she was from a royal line, but I know she placed a great deal of emphasis on family. I suppose that could mean something.
I have this folder full of birth certificates and a family tree, of ship itineraries and land deeds. I frowned. And it all leads back to Duke Rousseau of Lillaria.
Why did they hunt you down?
Dad had always been practical. It was probably why he had done so well in the military.
Seems like a lot of work to just tell you your great-great-great-grandfather used to own some land.
They want to reinstate my title. I bit into my bread and chewed thoughtfully. Supposedly, the queen has made it her life task to bring back the families that left. He looked at me, processing what that could mean.
They want you to move back, then?
Yes, I think so. I frowned. They aren't pressuring me, but there's a lot to accepting the position. I'd be on the council to the queen. I laughed. It was such a ridiculous thought. I'd be in charge of lands and a house.
That's a very big honor.
Dad looked at me seriously, and I stopped my giggles. It is. But me? On the council to a queen? I shook my head. Can you imagine? I snorted. I don't know anything about their country. And let's face it, I'm not the most diplomatic person.
Maybe that's what they need. New insight and someone that isn't constrained by centuries of protocol.
The fact that he was echoing what Alex said scared me. I stared at him while he ate. Did he really think it would be a good idea? They also have a really great healthcare system. I watched him for any indications that this would excite him. They have a really great specialist that would be willing to work with you.
Don't base your decision on me, Sam. The truth is, if it's my time, there isn't anything to be done about it. You know that.
My heart clenched, and I fought the tears that gathered at the backs of my eyes. Anything has to be better than what you're going through. I reached out and grabbed his hand. He was only 55, and yet his hands looked like those of an 80-year-old. There were bruises from all the IVs, shots, and blood work. This was only his second round of chemotherapy, and yet it had already taken so much out of him.
I've had a wonderful life, Sam. You and your mom have given me everything I could need.
Don't talk like that, I snapped at him. Angry, he seemed to have given up. He smiled and squeezed my hand, not bothered by my anger.
Baby, I've always told you that you should travel. Here's a chance in a lifetime.
Traveling had been Dad's favorite part of being in the service. He'd told me and Mom countless times about the places he had seen. This isn't the same thing. This wouldn't be a vacation.
I know. If you decide to go, you need to do it for the right reasons. You need to do it because you're ready to accept the responsibility.
He laughed.
Though I bet there are some amazing perks as well. It can't be all bad, can it?
I smiled, even though I didn't feel like it. I remembered the media hounding me as I left the center, and how the people I'd known for years had treated me differently. Later that night, Dad fell asleep in his chair in front of the television. I went to the kitchen and sorted out his medicine for the night and got him a glass of milk. When I came back into the living room, I stopped and watched him for a minute. He looked so tired and worn out, it made my heart ache. He'd barely started the chemo, and I hated seeing him so vulnerable. He was my father. He was supposed to be invincible. As I worked on setting up his medicine, I caught the glint of something out of the corner of my eye. I turned around to look out the kitchen window and froze. There was a man with a camera standing just on the other side of the glass. The light above the kitchen table must have reflected off the lens because he wasn't using a flash. From the way his finger moved over the button on the top of the camera, I knew he was taking pictures.
Anger surged through my chest as I stalked to the window and turned the blinds down. Taking slow steps so I wouldn't wake Dad, I walked into the living room to close the blinds. Standing outside was a woman taking pictures of Dad asleep in the recliner. "Get the hell out of here!" I ran to the window and twisted the blinds closed.
"What? What's going on?"
Dad tried to sit up in his seat.
"It's nothing. Go back to sleep."
I couldn't disguise the anger in my voice. They had been taking pictures of my father. He was sick. Did they have no morals?
"Doesn't sound like nothing."
He wrestled with the handle on the side of his seat.
"Is someone outside?"
"I've got it, Dad. I'll tell the security detail." Grabbing my coat, I yanked the door open and waved at the car idling in the driveway.
"Becca?"
The sound of a camera drew my attention to the side of my house. The female photographer was snapping pictures.
"Get the hell out of here! This is private property!"
I dug in my pocket for my cell phone, intent on calling the police.
"Stop where you are!"
Becca was moving across the lawn in angry strides.
"I'm calling the cops, asshole!"
The other photographer ran past the house and toward a van at the end of the street. The cops said they would send a car out, but they wouldn't be able to stay at the house all night. I growled in frustration and asked Becca to stay and make sure no one bothered my dad. After she made some calls, another bodyguard showed up to stay. I grilled him, making sure he understood no one was to come on the property at all. Dad spent a good amount of time trying to calm me down, but it only made me angrier. No one should be taking pictures of my father, especially to sell to papers or tabloids. When I realized my anger was making him agitated, I tried to relax. No reason to have him stressed over something I was handling. I got him his medicine and helped him to bed even though he tried to wave me away. Patricia would be over bright and early, so I didn't have to worry about him tomorrow. He hated having someone check on him every day, but I needed to know he was okay. I didn't say anything in the car on the way to my house. When they told me someone would be staying overnight, I didn't argue. Duval seemed to understand my quiet and spoke to Parker, who had taken a seat on the couch. Jess and Bert had already gone to bed, so the house was relatively quiet. I showed Parker where the bathroom was and told him to help himself in the kitchen before I went to my room. Opening the computer, I searched for the specialist Alex had provided information about. Dr. Bielefeld was originally from Germany, but currently worked in France and Lillaria, enjoying a dual citizenship. He'd been written up in many medical journals for his work with holistic and natural methods for dealing with cancer. I read for hours, searching through the articles for patient health and longevity. While some of his patients responded well to his methods, others required a balance of the normal medicines with the herbal supplements. From what I could tell, he seemed to believe each person required a program tailored for their individual needs. He apparently didn't have a problem mixing the more Western medicines with his holistic approach, and obviously had a great understanding of them both. All the testimonials were glowing and happy. Even the families of patients who died seemed to believe he had helped their loved ones' quality of life. At some point, I switched topics. I read through all the paperwork about my family and their flight from Lillaria. Before they left, their name could be traced back for centuries. It was intimidating to see an outline of every ancestor and their achievements. There was so much history that I got sucked in and didn't realize how much time had slipped by. It was a bit like reading a historical novel, only I was somehow related to these people. Eventually, I leaned back on the bed and glanced at my clock. It was after 3 in the morning. I dragged myself down the hall to the bathroom. If I waited until the morning, I'd likely not get a shower. Jess and Bert were both bathroom hogs. I leaned against the tiled wall and let the hot water run over my back. In less than 2 days, my entire world had been turned upside down. Not just tilted or spun around and confused, but turned completely inside out. Nothing made sense. Every decision felt wrong. Every direction I looked led down a path I wasn't sure about. For years, I had worked toward one goal, stayed focused on the one place I wanted to get, but now that goal felt like it wasn't quite right. I wanted to know more about where I came from. I wanted to take my father to a place where he could get the best possible care. I needed to know if I was meant to sit on the council of a queen, or if this was all just a weird fluke in my life. So I held on to the one thing I knew to be true. Family always came first. Chapter 10. How to Become a Bodyguard. Guns and Bullets Magazine. The car pulled up to the school, and I took a deep breath. Duval looked back at me, and I nodded my head. The press was waiting this time, ready for me to show up. Duval opened my door and helped me push through the people gawking at me. The security guards at the front door waved me past without even looking at my ID. Apparently my face had been plastered on enough TVs that they all knew me on sight. We took the stairs, but instead of heading for my office, I went to Dr. Geller's. I rapped on the door, hoping to catch him before anyone else showed up.
Come in!
Wait out here. I looked at Becca and Duval. There was no compromise here. I would be going in this office by myself. Duval grimaced but nodded. I'd take that small victory. Dr. Geller was typing something on the computer, so I closed the door quietly and took a seat across from his desk. His salt and pepper hair made him look older than his 42 years. I set my bag on the floor and tried to not shift in my seat. I was nervous. The want-to-puke kind of nervous. I was about to possibly make the biggest mistake of my life.
Hey, Sam.
He looked over at me and smiled, still typing.
Heard you had some crazy classes yesterday.
Certainly wasn't my normal Tuesday routine. I pulled some of the tests I had graded out of my bag and set them on the desk. They didn't do too poorly on Monday. A healthy average. He looked through the tests quickly, glancing at a few of the questions and answers.
Good, good. They seem to have grasped that chapter rather well.
I didn't say anything, just gave him a tight-lipped smile. He set the papers down and looked at me expectantly. Did the dean tell you why the classes were so crazy yesterday? Or was he just upset I had caused an ordeal on campus?
On the contrary, he wanted to know why I hadn't told him one of my graduate students was from a royal family. I had to explain I didn't know myself.
To be fair, I didn't know until Monday night. Dr. Geller laughed.
Now that has to be a crazy story, and is probably better than all the ones floating around.
You know, it is pretty nuts. I shook my head. I thought when they invited me to dinner, they were planning on making a donation to the program. I knew David hated talking to the donors, so I thought maybe you had forgotten to tell me, or I had missed the email.
So, you went to dinner expecting to represent the school, only to be blindsided with this?
Dr. Geller chuckled.
I bet your face was hilarious.
Hey, what would you have thought in my shoes?
Oh, I agree. It was a logical conclusion. So, what does this mean? You're descended from royalty, but why did they look you up?
He leaned forward, his shrewd gaze pinned on me. They want to reinstate my title.
Ah.
He folded his hands on the desk in front of him.
And that would mean you would have to take up a seat on the Queen's Council and move to Ilaria.
Yes. I couldn't help being surprised he knew so much about the country. You seem to have a good grasp on it.
I have a friend who works for the FBT, and another that went on to teach falconry in Lilaria.
I didn't know that. I fiddled with a hangnail and tried to decide how to broach the next part. I have to decide if I'm going.
And have you? Will I have another friend in Lilaria?
His words eased some of the guilt in my heart. I believe so. I paused. The words stuck in my throat. I need to at least go and see if it's where I belong. If I'm a right fit.
Well, we can unenroll you for the semester, and I can give the classes you've been handling to one of the other grad students. If you decide to make it a permanent move, then we'll make it final.
He smiled sadly.
I hate to see you go, Sam. You're one of the most dedicated students I've had in a long time. But I understand that at times life takes us in different directions than we planned.
I still want to finish my master's, Dr. Geller. It just might take longer than I wanted.
If nothing else, I will give you the name of my friend. Perhaps you will find a way to still work with birds.
He stood up and moved around his desk. That would be great. I frowned. I'm really sorry it turned out this way. I know you've put a lot of time into my degree, and I feel like I'm letting you down.
Nonsense. If anything, you'll take a great deal of information with you. Ilaria's noble houses have been aligned with birds for centuries. Maybe you were meant to do this all along.
Something in my stomach loosened, and for the first time I felt good about my decision. He seemed to understand what I was thinking, because he laughed.
Did you think I was going to yell and try to guilt you into staying?
Not really. I just hated to leave like this. It felt wrong.
When will you be going?
He leaned against his desk. I'm not sure, but I probably shouldn't come back to the school. I'm causing too much trouble. I sighed. In fact, I should probably clear out my desk today.
If you need anything, let me know.
He looked at me seriously.
I mean it. Anything. We're all going to be rooting for you.
Thank you. After I left his office, I went straight to the one I shared. Everyone was in there, and they all looked up when Becca and I came through the door. I walked over to my desk before stopping and turning to look at everyone. Well, looks like someone else is going to get the window desk. Oh my God! Geller kicked you out of the program? Mary looked at me with wide eyes. No. I'm withdrawing. I can't teach classes and uphold my course load if there are 8 news vans following me everywhere. I started pulling stuff out of my drawers and shoving it into my bag.
What are you going to do?
David spun around in his desk chair and looked at me seriously.
Are you going to finish your degree somewhere else?
I don't know yet. I started to tell them I was going to Lilaria, but stopped. I have several options to choose from.
Like what?
Mary walked over to my desk with a box and helped me put some of my books and papers in it. Do you still have my field guide? I brushed off her question.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
She ran to her desk and fished through her bag.
Here it is.
So, you're just leaving?
David asked. I'll be in touch. It's not like I won't ever see you guys again.
We should throw you a party.
Mary sat on the window ledge and looked at me.
It'll be fun. We can invite the whole department.
Mary, I think that would be difficult right now.
David narrowed his eyes at her.
She has security following her to the bathroom. You really think they're going to let her have a party?
Becca does not follow me into the bathroom.
I glared at David. And there isn't time. I'll probably be leaving in a couple of days.
Are you going to Lilaria?
David leaned forward, his elbows resting on his knees. Possibly.
We're going to miss you.
Mary threw her arms around me, and I laughed when she knocked me off balance. Becca moved closer, but I waved her away.
I'm going to miss you too.
Don't drive David crazy, okay?
Bah, it's so much fun.
Mary winked at me. I walked over to David and hugged him before kissing his cheek.
Take care of yourself.
You too.
I told everyone else goodbye, joking and laughing where I could. The truth was, I was crying inside. This had been my life for several years, and it felt strange to leave it without having completed what I came for. Parker took the box out of my hands when I left the office, and Duval looked at me expectantly. I need to speak with Rose.
Very well. I'll see if she has time this afternoon. In the meantime, where would you like to go?
My father's. I called Dad on the ride over, letting him know I was on my way. Seemed like the polite thing to do, since there were two news vans tailing us. I mean, really? What do they expect to find out? That I'm really an alien sent from Pluto? I glanced over my shoulder quickly.
Good shots can make a reporter's career. Finding out the smallest bit of information can mean scooping another station. The fact is, right now, your news.
Duval looked back at me, and if I didn't know any better, I would think there was sympathy in his expression. They don't even know why they're following me right now.
The little bit of information they have.
Misinformation?
Yes, the little bit they think they know means you're a story their viewers would find interesting.
I just shook my head. Dad was waiting for us when we pulled up. I could see him peeking out the side window. Since there were people following us, Duval and Becca escorted me into the house. I hugged Dad and then introduced him to my shadows.
Nice to meet you. Would you like something to drink?
Dad smiled at Duval and Becca, who both declined. I threw my box of books on the floor and sat down on the couch. Dad nodded his head and sat across from me.
You're going?
Yeah. I sighed, knowing he would probably put up a fight, but I was ready. You're coming with me.
Sam, I'm in the middle of chemo. I can't just leave.
We'll talk to your doctor and figure out what to do. I sat up and looked him in the eye. Have you been to Lilaria?
No.
Dad shook his head. There's no time like the present. I knew he loved to travel, and damn it, if he was going to be okay with whatever happened, then he might as well live a little in the meantime.
I may have to wait until after the last round of chemo.
He leaned forward and patted my knee.
But if you want me to come, I'll come after that.
I didn't like it. I wanted him to meet with the specialist right away, but I understood he would be better off finishing what he started. I might have to go before that. The Duchess made it sound like I only had a few days.
Then go. I'll be fine. Patricia will take me to my appointments.
Just call me Cabby, why don't you? Patricia hollered from the kitchen. She leaned against the doorframe, a dish towel in her hand. You're going to Lilaria? I nodded my head. It still didn't feel real. The entire last few days felt dreamlike, especially the part where I had been plastered against Alex before sticking my foot in my mouth. Well, the foot in my mouth part felt pretty real. I'd been doing that my whole life. Good. Don't you worry about your dad. I'll keep him in line.
Samantha, the Duchess said she would be free in an hour.
Duval stepped forward.
Should I tell her you are coming?
Yes. I pulled my phone out of my pocket and checked the time. Where is she?
She's at the parallel.
I glanced down at my clothes and sighed. I had worn jeans and a sweater, but it would have to do. There wasn't enough time to go back to my house, change, and make it to the hotel. Okay, I'll have to go like this. I turned back to my dad and wrapped my arms around him. You call the doctor today and tell him you're going to be moving to Lilaria. Tell him you need all your charts for Dr. Bielefeld, okay?
Samantha, I'm sick, not stupid.
Dad kissed my forehead. Yeah, yeah, don't forget. I laughed as I pulled my coat back on. How long had I been here? 5 minutes? 6? Is this how life would be once I accepted the family title?
Be careful.
Love you. I smiled at him over my shoulder as I followed Duval back to the car. The news crews were still setting up, obviously expecting me to be there longer than the amount of time it took to say hello. Love you too. Becca pulled the door closed behind us, and we left for the parallel. Chapter 11.
Reluctant Royal, Lilarian Gazette. The hotel was busy. Guests checking in and out, people meeting for lunch or relaxing in the lobby. When we pulled up, the doorman opened the car door and Becca exited first. He smiled at her before looking at me. When he realized I was in the car as well, his whole demeanor changed. He bowed his head a little and made a sweeping gesture with his hand. I looked at Becca to see if this guy was serious, but she just smirked. As I walked past him, I realized he was the same guy who had been on duty the night I'd met the Duchess and Alex for dinner. I squashed my urge to demand if he had been the one to sell photos to the press, and walked past him with just a mumbled thank you. Inside, Duval and Becca took us in an elevator to the penthouse. I found myself wondering if Alex would be there, and tried to calm my racing heart. I wanted to see him, to tell him I was sorry again, but wasn't sure if that would be a welcome thing or not. There was a short hallway outside the elevator that led to a large double door. Duval knocked, and we waited until another suit-clad person opened the door.
Samantha!
Rose stood up from a small desk next to the windows and walked over to me. She kissed my cheek and squeezed my shoulders.
So good to see you.
Thank you for seeing me on such short notice.
Not a problem at all.
She led me over to a small sofa and offered me some tea.
Have you come to a decision?
I have. I took a polite sip from the teacup before setting it back on the table. I would like to go back with you if the invitation is still open.
Of course. That's wonderful news.
She leaned back in her chair and smiled.
And will your father be joining us?
He has to finish his current chemotherapy treatments, but he'll come shortly after. I frowned, realizing there was a great deal for me to take care of, like plane tickets for him and setting up appointments. Alex gave me some information on Dr. Bielefeld, but I'm not sure how to go about contacting him for my father. I imagine he must have a large client list.
Oh, no worries there. I'll have someone set that up for you. In fact, there may be several things to take care of.
She turned and motioned over her shoulder to a lady in a blue dress.
You're going to need access to your accounts, someone to help you get organized, and to help you in the country since you've never been.
I looked from Rose to the lady in blue and back. I have no idea where to start.
That's okay, dear. I knew there would be a lot to take care of.
The front door opened and Alex walked into the room. The lady in blue and the waitress were setting up dishes on the dining table and bobbed a quick curtsy. Alex nodded his head in acknowledgement before his eyes fixed on me. He smiled politely at me, and I felt queasy. There was a distance in his eyes that hurt.
Samantha.
He sat down on the other end of the short sofa, and my body automatically tilted toward him. It was like being caught in a gravitational pull.
Are you joining us for lunch?
Oh, no. I turned back to his aunt, wanting to focus on anything other than the man next to me. I didn't mean to interrupt your meal. I can come back later. Rose was watching me with that calculating look again. It wasn't unfriendly, just thoughtful. You could see her trying to figure out what was going on between me and Alex.
Have you eaten? I called for four people in case you would be hungry.
Rose nodded toward the table and the three place settings. Thank you, but I really don't want to intrude.
Nonsense. We have a lot to discuss.
She turned her attention back to the lady in blue.
Sarah, can you please bring me the green folder on my desk and call the office and see if Chadwick is available?
Yes, ma'am.
Sarah hurried back with the green folder and then quietly left the room to make her phone call. Rose flipped through the folder before handing it to me.
This holds your account numbers and access codes, including several cards that are linked to them. There's also a brief summary of the lands you hold, your official title, and an itinerary for the next 2 days and when we land in Lilaria.
Accounts? Itinerary?
Yes. Your family's holdings have been guarded by the Crown. When they left to protect themselves, they only took what they could carry. This meant leaving a great deal of money and valuables in banks and trusts. Rose sipped her tea while I digested that bit. The itinerary is to help keep us all on schedule. Since you've decided to accept your title, we will need to do a press release. This will help clear up the rumor mill some.
You've decided to accept your title?
Alex looked at me with interest. Yes. I met his eyes and tried to calm my racing heart. My decision had nothing to do with Alex. At least, that's what I kept telling myself over and over.
Good. Will your father be joining us?
He has to finish his current course of treatment.
Excellent. I'll make a call to Dr. Bielefeld and see that he's aware of your father's case.
Alex leaned back in his seat. Thank you. I was trying to not be bothered by his behavior, but I found myself wishing the friendly, flirty man I had spent the day with yesterday was sitting next to me. He'd pulled back, and I knew it was my fault. I looked at Rose, who was watching us with a small smile. When Sarah came back into the room, she brought a small notebook to Rose.
It took some arranging, but Chadwick is delighted to help Lady Rousseau.
Chadwick? I asked.
Chadwick is a member of the royal household staff. He has agreed to become your personal assistant, at least until you find one that suits you better. But I think you'll get along with him quite well.
Rose smiled. His mother is Lelarian, but his father is American, so he will be able to help you adjust to the customs better than some might.
Oh, how does one pay a personal assistant? Is it an hourly thing or a salary?
I ran my fingers over the folder in my hand, not sure what to expect when I opened it.
He's currently employed by the Crown, which means he's being given to you as a courtesy since we invited you to the country. However, if you decide to take him on as part of your staff, you'll be able to make whatever arrangements suit you.
Rose stood up and I set my teacup back on the table. I need to make a phone call, but I'll be back in a few minutes.
Go ahead and open it.
Alex nodded at the folder in my hands.
You need to know what you have.
I looked from him to the folder and frowned. There was a crest pressed into the paper, and I ran my fingers over it. Was this the Rousseau crest? I went ahead and opened the folder and peered at the papers. There were several credit cards attached with paper clips inside, and several papers were bank statements I had to look at several times. My eyes rose to meet Alex's, only to find him with a small smile.
This is mine?
I literally couldn't wrap my mind around the numbers. There were millions in each account. There were so many zeros I thought my eyes would cross. I needed a calculator.
Yes.
There was a map with a highlighted area and several spots marked in another color. I traced them with my finger, not sure what they meant. While the other papers had been in English, the map was in Lelarian.
What are these?
Alex scooted closer on the couch so he could look at the paper.
That is a map of your state. It is roughly 4 miles by two.
He traced a finger along the green line before tapping one of the red dots.
And this is one of your oil wells.
There were 4 red dots on the map, and I stared in disbelief.
They are all active?
The 2 with orange around them are active. The others are closed right now. The blue dot is the village or township that belongs to the Rousseau family.
I looked up at Alex, my eyes wide with fear. Suddenly, those bank accounts didn't feel as big. I'm responsible for an entire village? He laughed, some of the amusement from yesterday creeping back into his eyes.
They pay a tax to your family, and you in turn take care of them.
Take care of them from what?
Think of it as a town where you're the mayor. If there is a natural catastrophe, you help find a way to take care of it. If it's too big for you to handle, you would plead the crown, who would take it to the parliament. If they needed a new road or a new school, you would take care of those through your taxes.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus. I looked at him in horror.
I have no idea how to do any of that.
I promised I wouldn't throw you to the wolves.
He leaned his head closer to me, and I took a deep breath, enjoying his scent.
As the Crown Prince, it's my job to help you understand your duties. Eventually, I'll be the one you're reporting things to. So it only makes sense.
I see. I lowered my voice so no one could hear me. Alex, I'm a wildlife biologist. I'm in way over my head.
You're a smart woman who will rise to the occasion.
His eyes dipped down to my lips, and I fought the urge to lick them. I'm sorry about yesterday.
You were right, he frowned. I should know better. I'll be good if you are.
His eyes glinted with the dare.
Just know if you feel like changing your mind. I'm right here.
I'll remember that. I couldn't help but smile at the challenge in his eyes. Does this mean we can be friends for now? I have a feeling I could use some people on my side.
I'll try for you.
His eyes ran over my body, and I shook my head.
For now.
Friends don't ogle friends.
I said I'd try. I didn't promise anything.
Sitting back in his seat, he chuckled.
I have a feeling our friendship will have a shelf life.
A shelf life?
You'll either end up hating me, or in my bed.
His eyes grew dark,
and I knew which one I'd prefer.
Heat raced over my body, and I had to take a deep breath. Unfortunately, that meant inhaling more of his delicious scent. His eyes narrowed, and he leaned a little closer to me.
If you keep looking at me like that, we're not going to even be able to pretend to be friends.
His voice was husky, and the room seemed to narrow around us, like tunnel vision. I forgot there were members of the detail and the maid in the room. It wasn't until Rose cleared her throat that I came back to my senses.
This is going to be an interesting challenge.
Alex smiled as he leaned back in his chair.
Well, I think they're ready for us to order.
Rose looked at me with a suspiciously bland face.
I hope you're hungry, Samantha.
I stood up and brushed my hands on my jeans, embarrassed to be caught in the staring contest with Alex. I took the menu Sarah handed me and took a seat at the table. Alex sat next to me, his knee brushing mine. I should have moved my leg, but I didn't. Apparently, I felt like torturing myself today. When Rose sat down across from me, I had to bite my lip to keep from laughing at the ridiculousness of my life. Sarah joined us for lunch, discussing the itinerary for the next 2 days. So, we leave on Friday. I picked up my salad, pushing the cucumbers out of the way.
I know that is soon, but I have several engagements coming up.
Rose tore a piece of bread in half and put a little butter on the slice.
No, I understand. I just have a lot to take care of by then. I'd be happy to help make any arrangements.
Sarah smiled at me over her food.
It would really be no problem. Just let me know what you need.
I'll have to make a list. I'm not sure I'll think of everything.
That's part of my job. I'll sit down with you before you leave. Do you have a passport?
I do. I need to pack and talk to my roommate. Thankfully, I'm paid up on rent for the next few months. The waitress whisked away my half-eaten salad and replaced it with a plate of small sandwiches. It had seemed like the safest choice, but now I was regretting not ordering something heftier.
Is there anything we need to address, in particular, with the press release?
Sarah opened a notebook next to her plate.
No matter what we say, they're going to latch on to the story.
Alex sipped from his water glass and watched me over the rim.
Another reason to make a hasty exit.
Why are they so interested?
I looked around the table. So what if my ancestor was a royal? It's another country. It has nothing to do with anyone over here.
You don't get it. You're like an American Cinderella.
Alex laughed at my expression. Last time I checked, I didn't own any glass slippers. I scoffed at the idea. It wasn't like I was being rescued by the prince, or whisked away to be married. Not that I would say that part out loud.
No wicked stepmother forcing me to sleep at a hearth. It's the idea of it all. A young woman who's been working hard finds out she's the long-lost descendant of a royal family. It's exciting. Even in Lelaria, you're going to be an object of interest. Rose sighed thoughtfully. There isn't much to be done about that. There have been other families, right? You said other families left Lelaria, and the queen was looking for all of them. You're only the second to come back. Two of the other lines have ended. Rose frowned. And while you're the second to reclaim your title, Duke Thysma is quite a bit older than you.
You mean he is almost 70 years old? Alex laughed. No, you're going to be far more interesting because you're a young American. People will be curious about your background, how you adjust to your new life, and if you make any waves.
I wasn't planning on it. I frowned at him, wondering why he seemed to think I would.
Sometimes waves are a good thing. Rock the boat a little.
Alex's smile was entirely too sexy to be in the friend zone, so I looked back at my food and tried to ignore him.
I wouldn't mind rocking a boat with him.
You're going to do fine, dear. Rose smiled at me, and we will make sure you have someone to help you every step of the way. After lunch, Alex had to leave for some diplomatic engagement I was entirely too overwhelmed to even think about. He lifted my hand to his lips, and I felt my breath catch at the feel of his mouth on my skin again.
I hope to see you soon.
I didn't respond, just nodded my head. Words had failed me. Once he was gone, Sarah had me cornered on the couch and was giving instructions on what to pack while Rose changed clothes.
You won't have to worry about any immunizations, just your passport. Do you speak any Lelarian?
When I shook my head, she sighed slightly, but didn't look too put out.
That's fine. I will get you one of those audio programs to listen to. For the most part, we are a bilingual country, but all the formal ceremonies will be held in Lelarian.
Of course. I swallowed and questioned my decision for the umpteenth time. Rose came out of her room dressed in formal wear.
Samantha, I have to meet with the governor tonight. If you need anything, let Sarah know. We'll send you a copy of the press release in the morning. The sooner we get that done, the sooner we can try to keep things in check.
You look spectacular. She was wearing a small diadem in her hair and a long, plum-colored dress that made her silver hair shine.
Thank you, sweetheart. Rose smiled, pleased with my compliment. She patted her hair gently. I hate wearing these, but since it's a formal event, it's part of the uniform.
Is it heavy? I eyed the diamonds.
This one isn't too bad, but even after an hour it starts to weigh on you.
Sarah stood up and helped Rose into a dressy winter coat.
You'll have to practice at home, so you'll learn how to hold your neck and get used to the weight for your ceremony.
Excuse me? I looked at her like she'd grown a second head.
You will have a choice of jewels for the ceremony, but the Rousseau family jewels would be the most appropriate.
Rose picked up a small purse from a table and laughed at my expression.
You look like I told you you'd have to wear a bear head, not a crown.
You guys don't wear bear heads, do you?
Only for the secret ceremonies.
Rose winked at me as she left in a whirlwind of purple and black.
She was kidding, right?
I looked at Sarah, but she only smirked.